This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Hi, I'm Kaz Mitchell from the Women's Zone. Back in August, I had a chat with Jean Badler about her acting career and music. Here's some excerpts from that interview.
Good afternoon,
Jane. Hi, it's so good to be here.
Thank you for coming in.
That's the
in.
First time I heard it through the earphones, and I went, oh, I like it through the earphones. That's good.
When did it come out? When was it released?
It was released probably 2 months ago now, mm-hmm. So it hasn't been that
long.
It's
still pretty fresh.
It's still pretty fresh, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Look, we'll come back and talk about okay. the music later, because yeah. I've got to ask you about your TV career,
yeah.
basically. You made quite a name for yourself in American television back in the 80s.
Yeah.
And you were once voted as the best ever sci-fi villain in a poll of by television critics.
Yeah.
And of course that was for the part of Diana, the fascist alien lizard, come to Earth in disguise as a human as part of an invasion to take over the Earth.
Isn't that great? Don't we love that? That's great. Yeah.
Tell us about how you got into that in the first place.
That was just such a wild trip. You know, I was in New York doing soap operas. Mm-hmm. I was actually at the time on a soap called The Doctors, mm-hmm. Playing a love interest of Alec Baldwin, who we all know. Mm-hmm. And they at that time in American television, you were often flown out first class from New York to L.A. to audition for pilots, to screen test. I don't think they do that anymore, but that's – and I used to audition a lot. They were always flying me out. It was lots of fun. And so then this was another one of those things where they flew me out for V. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't got one yet. And I thought, oh, God, you know. And this one, I went in, and I think they'd seen lots of people for Diana. And I met the director. And I went back to my hotel room, and I got this little note stuck under my door, and it went, don't leave town. I went, oh my God, don't leave town. That means I think I got it. And the next thing I knew, I was in makeup getting, you know, heads made and mm-hmm. prosthetics made, and it was all happening.
No, it's very interesting, because I have to confess, I mean, I've been listening to your music. I've been playing it on the show for the past few weeks, and I had no idea who you were.
Really?
Yeah, no, I had no idea. Back in the 80s, I didn't even own a television.
I love that so much. Thank you. That's great that it stands alone. That's really
yeah,
good.
And it was only actually through the week when I was preparing for the interview that I actually realized.
You're kidding, even with our correspondence.
Yes, yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, I just hadn't had time to sit down and really kind of read into it.
That's so great.
So I got V out today from the video store and was watching it this morning.
What'd you think? pretty
I loved
fun,
it.
Pretty
I
funny.
I can't wait to go back and see how it all turns out. It was the mini series.
Oh, that was you said yeah. you watched the first mini series.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there were two mini series, mm-hmm. and then it went into a series. At that point, the original creator Kenneth Johnson wasn't involved, mm-hmm. so there was a lot of changes made to it, and a lot of people didn't like the series as much as they did the original because it was not as political, and it became kind of vampy and a bit like kind of Dallas in outer space.
Oh well, I'm very keen to watch the lot now.
It's
though.
Pretty. It gets a bit kind of funny, you know. When it gets a bit kind of, you know. You know, it just gets a bit silly when it goes into the series. But it's okay. I had a good time anyway.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. It looks like it must have been a lot of fun to do.
Yeah, it was really.
And the sillier it got, I imagine, the more fun it got.
Well, for me, I was lucky because I had the, you know, that role where I was the kind of vamp. So I got to be kind of, you know, bisexual, and I got to do all sorts of weird things and kill lots of people and just be total, you know, total bitch, if you can say that on the air, I'm not sure, but I wasn't sure, but yeah, so it was a great job, it was fantastic, and even now, I mean, this is almost 23 years later, the repercussions and
well,
the
it's a bit of a cult, because I've heard people talk about it, I mean, all my friends were watching it, and it was like, oh, I've never, you know, I didn't have a TV, so.
Well, it's amazing how it's now feeding into my music, and that's the best thing, because like I said, when I heard you were from Scotland, I recently got, through MySpace, a call from a promoter in Glasgow who said that there's a huge V following in Glasgow, which is why I may be going there to do my music.
Oh, wonderful.
So it's all connected.
I hope you go in the warm weather, because it can be pretty pretty wet and cold.
In Scotland. April, we're thinking. That's nice. Is that nice?
Yeah, it could be.
Oh, well.
It could be.
It's not going to damp my spirits, honey.
Not look, you love it. And Glasgow's a fantastic place for live music.
Yeah, yeah.
As is Melbourne. I think it's quite similar.
That's what I hear.
Not as big, but it's
very exciting.
Yes, yeah. It is indeed. And you've played various roles on TV, and how did you get into all of that? Was that a dream to be an actress?
Yeah, I've always dreamed of I've always wanted to act. I always acted and played musical instruments and sang, and you know, like most people in the performing side of things, they grow up doing lots of things. Do you know, that's why often you hear about actors who sing or singers who act, you know, because we all kind of do it all as you're growing up. And look, I was really lucky. I went to a very fine university where I studied theater, Northwestern in Chicago, and then went to New York as a 21-year-old by myself. I didn't know anyone to pursue acting, and I sort of got work right away. So that was great. I became like Miss Commercial. I did hundreds of commercials, and that sort of led to lots of other things. So,
do you have a favorite character that you've played over the years?
Well, you know, it's hard not to love Diana, because that brought me so many wonderful perks, and obviously I think that but you know, the favorite role I probably have played is my most recent role in the stage play Mercy Seat at the Red Stitch. That's probably because I think it was probably the deepest role and the most complex role I've had to play. So Diana was great, but she was kind of one level, which was great, but it was what it was, and I was young, in my 20s at the time. It was fantastic.
And you came to Australia in the 80s to film a revival series of Mission Impossible?
I did. Well, yeah. I came to Australia in the 80s to be a host of the Logies with the late John Hargreaves, who at that point I didn't know. And when I got off the plane, I have to say that I said to myself, I am going to move here one day. I absolutely fell in love with it. That was, I don't know, that was a long time ago, but here I am.
What was it?
I just thought it was the most amazing place. It was like America, but it was sort of fresher and more space and friendlier, and I was just really struck by it. And, you know, I had a great time. I was young and a bit wild then, so I was always on the cover of Truth. And, you know, I don't even think Truth's around anymore. But I met a rugby player, and I was having a ball, you know, out here with the Logies, one of those Logie people who were sort of... And then I came back in 89 to do Mission Impossible, and I met a man, and here I am.
And
so it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Similar story. I came here 10 years ago, and I just absolutely love it.
Really?
Yes.
That's amazing, isn't it?
I can't imagine ever going back to Scotland. It's too cold.
Me too, to New York. Oh, God.
And then in more recent years, you moved into cabaret as well.
To where?
Cabaret music.
Yes.
Cabaret shows.
Well, it's been a very interesting sort of journey because, you know, when I came out here, I was still doing a lot of television. And then I realized that if I was going to kind of shift from glamour television, which America was at the time, I started to do a lot of theater, kind of fringe theater, like La Mama and a lot of that sort of stuff. And then I went back to music about 8 years ago, went back to music that I did originally, and I was doing a lot of my own cabaret shows. But then the great thing was that Jesse Shepherd from Sir approached me about a year and a half ago.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Kaz Mitchell, and you're listening to me have a chat with Jane Badler. Here she is talking about her recent release, the album The Devil Has My Double, with a band called Sir.
Now, Jane, I believe that it's autobiographical in its storytelling.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, it's kind of the story of a woman who leads a double life. And outwardly, she seems like the perfect citizen, a society woman, perfectly groomed. But she has this kind of secret sexual obsessions that follow her down a path that leads to the disillusionment, and her life begins to crumble because she can't sort of, she can't stop it. Her addictions.
Yeah. And how much of that is autobiographical?
No, exactly. God. Well, As I was saying, I was going, "Whoa!" I'm not thinking that. No, I think that I've led a pretty full life, and now I feel like I'm happily married and live, you know, interact way. And I sometimes feel like I live this sort of double life, you know, that there's the kind of me, the fantasy me in my mind, and there's the outwardly how I appear, you know.
And I suppose there's the you that played all these
characters and lived all these lives, you know, in New York and LA. And I did have a wild time. So now I feel that I've needed to express that in a way. Yeah.
Well, we were talking off air about how theatrical it is, and even down to the album cover with these photographs, which are very melodramatic.
Yeah, yeah.
There's one of you in the kitchen with a dagger.
That's right.
Looking murderous.
Yeah.
And I have to say that the colour scheme of that kitchen is exactly, and not even the look of it, the cupboards and everything are exactly like our kitchen used to look before we renovated it.
Exactly.
It's a lime green 50s
well,
kitchen.
You know, Jesse, he also teaches art, the guy who wrote the album, and he's got an amazing eye, and we actually travelled far and wide for those locations. And it was a couple who lived there who their whole life was all that era, you know, all the kitsch, all the albums. It was like you were stepping back in time. And that's where we shot it. So it's exactly right.
And the theatricality of it all then, is that...
Yes.
Was that the whole thrust of the album? Is that what you wanted?
Yes, totally. And, you know, it's been like most things in life, they're layered. So when we did the album, and we went out and we thought, well, we'll just gig like a gig band. We'll go out and we'll gig. But we realized very quickly that really the strengths in that is that it becomes then part musical experience and part theatrical experience. So now we've been asked to do the Spiegel Tent in December, and we've had to bring in a director who's taking everything to the next level with a costume and lighting and giving it a thread, a beginning and an end, and now it's becoming like a kind of mini show within the music, which is what I've always wanted to do with it.
And such a wonderful venue for that kind of music.
I know, it's so exciting. We're really, really excited about it.
Yeah, I love it. And I always tell this story every time someone mentions the Spiegel Tent, and I know that my partner will hate me for saying it because she keeps telling me that I always say this story, but I first went to the Spiegel Tent in Edinburgh.
Oh, did you?
Because it's always there during the festival.
But it's not the same one. Is it the same one?
Yeah, it travels.
Oh, my God.
And when I first arrived, not long after I'd first arrived, there it was. And it was like being back at home. When I stepped into it, it was like,
I know people don't understand what it means to performers to get the opportunity to perform at the Spiegel Tent. Do you know what I mean? It's really like a dream. It's kind of where you want to end up because it does have that incredible history. And when you walk in, it's so glamorous.
It is. And I've seen some great... I saw Amanda Palmer from the Dresden Dolls perform
last year.
It was incredible. Absolutely incredible.
God, how great. Well, it's very exciting for all of us to be doing that. We couldn't be happier with where it's all heading. So we're going to Sydney in November at the Vanguard. And so things are kind of happening and bubbling along.
Fantastic. And the band, Sir, a great band.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
How did you meet them? How did that happen?
Well, it was really weird. I was sort of kicking around doing Dizzy's and doing my own little kind of brand of cabaret that, you know, wasn't sort of going too far. I mean, I didn't think it was good, but it just wasn't. It was kind of covers reinvented. And then Jesse said he'd heard me on the radio, and he approached me. And when I first heard his music, I thought, are you crazy? You know, it was kind of really the way Jesse did it, which was fabulous, but it was that real kind of underground, monotone, indie sound, you know. But when I listened to the lyrics, I realized, even with his old stuff, that it was really conducive to theatricality. And that's when I got really excited and said, yeah, I think this could work.
So he wrote the music, but you must have had some input that so how did that work?
There's a few songs in there that were existing songs, like The Devil Is My Double, which is incredible because it's perfect for what we were doing. But what happened was he brought a few songs to me that he had stopped doing or that he'd had. And then that's where the invention started to happen. You know, it was kind of like this thing that bubbled as I heard the music. And then he started to write for me. Like the first song was written for me, When We Get High. And
So were you talking about your life?
Yeah, we'd go. I'd sit down. I'd go to his place, and he'd have like a big board, and we'd have all these ideas, and then we'd go to each idea, and we would start to kind of flesh it out. Mm. And some of them I'd say no, and others I'd say yeah, and then all this stuff we'd feed into that idea, and then the songs would start to be written. Yeah, so it was great.
Sounds like an unusual. Combination. I don't think I've heard anyone do that before.
Really unusual. Mm. Because you have to understand that Sir is a real, when I say indie, people go, what does indie mean? But they were a real kind of, you know, underground kind of band. They love just gigging, doing small venues, doing, and you know, wherever, you know what indie crowds are like. Mm. They're kind of young and they're not, it's not a glammy thing. It's more kind of, and I think when I came on board, at first everyone thought it was exciting, but then it was like, suddenly it wasn't like a gig band. It became something different. Mm. And so everyone's had to adjust because it has changed. The audiences we have, that we've lost some people, we've gained some people. Everything's kind of been shaken up, you know. But I think it's shaken up, for the good. Everyone's excited by it.
Mm. So what kind of music do you listen to?
Look, I'm a big fan. I have to say I love jazz. Mm. I really do. And I love good jazz. I could listen to Kurt Elling, Paul Grabowski. I just put it on and I'm always kind of happy. Mm. I also am a big fan of R&B, soul. I'm probably, I kind of tend to like things that are a little unusual too, a little edgy, a little avant-garde. I don't always like, I'm not that interested in middle-of-the-road pop. That's probably my least favorite music. Not to say that occasionally a song comes along and you go, oh, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, I know, absolutely.
It's just my own, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't listen to the main stations. I probably listen to Joy FM, Triple R.
I'm glad you listen to Joy.
Yeah, I do. you know, those sorts of stations, yeah.
Mm, and I believe we talked earlier that you helped out with the Radiothon a couple months ago. I did,
yes. That was scary. Scary being live on air.
It can be.
I know.
You're on the Women's Zone on Joy 94.9, and I'm chatting with Jane Badler. What are your plans then for the coming months?
Yes, well, this... you know, there's a lot happening. I just shot a pilot for a new sci-fi series called Resistance that looks like the Sci-Fi Channel might be interested in. I'm also shooting a trailer in October for a horror film.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of fun, where I play a deranged kind of psychopath, which just sounds interesting. And I may be doing a musical at Chapel off Chapel, and then I go into the Spiegel tent and hopefully Scotland.
Be busy.
So it's really busy, but I'm so happy it's busy because it was, you know, it's great when it's busy. You know, it's great when it's busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all looking good.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and the Spiegel tent, what's the exact
most important is the Spiegel tent. Mm-hmm. That's the most exciting thing. And that's December the 11th, and it'll be, you know, Jane Badler and Sir. And I think they're putting out a program with all the acts. They've got the festival for, I think, 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then their Spiegel tent stays open till December the 14th. I can say that it's just amazing that you've ended up here in Melbourne like me. 10 years you've been here. And
It's actually 11.
11. And the music scene here, I'm really enjoying being on the show because I'm learning about, you know, an aspect of the music scene that actually there's a lot of different aspects of the music scene here and you can easily forget some of them.
That's
right.
And I kind of came into doing a women's show by accident. I was asked, because I'm a musician myself too.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I was asked, I was being interviewed on Joy, and the person who was interviewing me asked if I'd come in and do a monthly women's show. And so I've kind of been led down this path, and it's fascinating because there is a lot of...
Yeah.
There's still a lot of women that get overlooked. I think it still is male-dominated.
Absolutely.
I think it's not as bad as it was, but I think...
That is what's so great about this, and that you don't have to stick with totally, because it's not totally commercial station. You can try new things. We can hear music that otherwise we'd never get to hear.
Mm, which is what I love doing.
That's fantastic. So thank you.
You're very, very welcome.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.